it shall swell. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
Cross where he died for my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine, giving his life a poor wanderer to win. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
Relieving my care. Oh, what a Savior is mine, giving me courage to do and to dare. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Savior, oh, what a Savior, oh, what a Savior is mine. I'm to the uttermost, wonderful, glorious, oh, what a Savior is mine.
Savior. What a Savior. All right, your Bible is open to Genesis chapter number 4. Before we get into the message this morning, a couple of things I'd like to recognize and a few things I'd like to ask of you. First of all, I'd like to say it's good to have Brother Nelson Jenkins with us. We're so thankful that God is lifting him up and he's able to be with us in our service today. You continue to pray for Brother Nelson. Brother Nelson, good to have you back with us at church today. Good to have Sister Gertie Dotson with us today. Where's she at? I saw her, and I'm trying to find her, and I can't find her. Amen. There she is. I should know that's your seat. Good to see you, Sister Gertie. We're glad you're feeling better and able to be back with us. Pray for Brother Don Lowry. I don't see him in the service today, and he's been sick, and you pray for Brother Don that the Lord be with him and raise he and Sister Linda up, that they would be able to be back in our services. We pray for these folks and we continue to do so. We have others that are sick, and I would ask that you would pray for them. And then I'd like to ask the church to pray for Sister Ann Woodward. Brother Champ made the passing early yesterday morning, went home to be with the Lord. And so if you would, you pray for that family. Sister Ann and the family, if you would pray for them, all right? If you have a telephone that you have a calendar on, this is the only time you'll ever hear me say you can use your phone in church. But if you have a phone with a calendar on it, or if you have a day planner, I want you to get it out. Go ahead and do that at this time. Your phone that has a calendar on it, or if you have a day planner. This is not a trick. We're not going to scramble your signal when you get your phone out. I want you to make a notation. And I don't want you to make a promise to God and a promise to yourself. April the 5th through April the 9th is our missions revival. And I'd like for you to mark those days right now on your calendar. You say, well, we're just in February. Yeah, I know. But I want you to mark those days, because those are very important days for you, for us, for the kingdom, for the community, for the world. It's world evangelism. It's our missions revival. And I'd like for you to commit, whether you're visiting with us or whether you're a faithful member, why don't you commit right now? I'm going to make it to every meeting. As God is willing, as He enables me, I'm going to make it to every meeting of that missions revival. And I'm going to come with an open heart. And I'm going to come praying, God, what would you have me to do for the kingdom of God and world evangelism? That's the need of the hour. Our world is in trouble. Our community is in trouble. We hear a lot about our state. And I'm going to say a little bit about that in the message today. And when I say our state, I don't mean our condition. I mean our state. The state of Virginia is in trouble. The leadership in Virginia is poor. So, well, they might hear you. I hope they do. Zoom in so they can hear me clear. I've got some things I want to say this morning. And I'm not being harsh and mean. I'm being straight. And I want you to hear what I have to say this morning. We're in trouble. And we've got to do something. Sitting around and hoping for things to change is not going to cut it. God wants you to get involved. And God wants me to get involved. And one of the greatest ways I know you can get involved and I can get involved is let's make an impact on somebody's soul for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. We need to pray. We need to do what you're doing today. We need to fill our churches up where the Bible is preached. We need to amen the preacher. We need to get behind the leadership. We need to worship God. Amen. We need to get serious. The enemy's serious. The opposers of what we're doing here this morning are serious. We need to get serious. This is not a game. There are souls at stake. There are lives at stake. And I'm glad that God has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm thankful. Did you mark those days? You can put your phone up. April the 4th through the 9th. The 5th, we have orientation the 4th. You come the 5th. You come the 4th, that's fine too. You can pray. But we'll be here the 5th, that Sunday, through the 9th. Please pray. Please pray. I want to talk to you this morning about a civilization without God. I see it right here. The first civilization left God out. And I read in my Bible as we are studying through the book of the Revelation on Sunday nights. We're going verse by verse through the book of the Revelation. We're going to enter into tonight into what's called the tribulation period of chapter number 6. We're going to talk about the four horsemen of chapter 6 and the Lord willing, the evening service. And I read how this thing's going to end up. It's going to end up with a civilization without God. It began with a civilization. Now the garden had God, Adam and Eve. But that wasn't the civilization. Adam and Eve had offsprings, and we've read about their offspring. We read about how the root of their sin produced a fruit. The root of chapter 3 produced a fruit in chapter 4 and following. And I want you to notice some things with me as we talk about a civilization without God. Verse number 16, Pastor David read in your hearing, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Very sad statement. Can I tell you that our country, our world, has gone out of the presence of the Lord? We live in a country that has turned her back on the God of heaven. We live in a world that wants nothing to do with its Creator and with the Redeemer. Now, before you get too discouraged, I want to tell you to hold on to the end, because I'm going to give you some great promises that you and I can claim in this last day in which we live. I want you to notice with me some things about this civilization. As I thought about what God would have me to preach this week, I began to look into these scriptures and I began to research some things in these scriptures. And the first thing that God reminded me of is in verse number 26, it says, And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, I'm glad that God keeps his promise. Watch what Eve said in verse number 25. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. You know what the word Seth means? It means appointed. Appointed. She said in verse number 25, she said, because God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel whom Cain slew. See, God in chapter number 3 had promised there was going to be a promised seed. And then when she got Cain, she thought, well, maybe that's it. But he wasn't. And then she brought forth Abel, and then Cain slew Abel. Now both seeds are doomed. Cain is doomed. He's a fugitive. He's a wanderer upon the earth. Abel has gone on. There's no way that the Savior could come through that seed. And it appears that though that what God had said unto Adam and Eve in the beginning was not going to come to pass. But I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say this morning. And please, if you don't hear anything else I say, I pray you would really tune in very carefully what I'm getting ready to say. Everything that God has promised is going to come to pass. Everything that God said was going to happen has either happened, is happening, or is going to happen. Not one thing that God said that's going to happen is not going to happen. All of his promises, brethren, are in him, yea and amen. Amen. Everything that God saith in this book is going to come to pass. And God told Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, I am going to promise a seed. And can I tell you that God is following up on his promise right here in chapter 3. You know, there's another promise. It's not really as good of a promise as far as something we would like. But God had told Adam, he said, you know, he said, every tree of the garden, in chapter 2, he said, thou mayest freely eat thereof, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, thou cannot eat thereof, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did you know that Adam ate? And the moment he ate, he died, but he didn't die physically, he died spiritually. He separated himself from God through his act of sin. But now as we turn to chapter number 5, I want you to notice something just briefly with me. In chapter number 5, 8 times you'll find this term. Look in verse number 5. The Bible says of Genesis 5, verse 5, and all the days of Adam that lived were 930 years and he died. Just like God said he was going to die. You know why? Because everything that God says is going to come to pass. God said, I'm going to give you a seed, and man tried to disrupt that. And man tried to say, well, we'll take that away. And the enemy moved in and said, well, I'll disrupt that. But God overruled, just like God always overrules. And God brought forth his promise in Seth. Through Seth came the Savior. Study it right on down. Through Seth came the Savior. God kept his promise. He said, Adam, when you sin, you're going to die. Adam died spiritually when he sinned. 900 years later, God kept his promise. There may be somebody sitting here and you say, you know what? I sinned and I got by. 900 years later, Adam died. It may be a week later. It may be a month later. It may be a year later. It may be 10 years later. But you cannot sin and get by. Please hear me this morning. God will require your sin. That's what this book teaches. God keeps his promise. Some of them we love and we claim, amen. But some of them, well, they indict us, don't they? They do. And so when you go through, look at chapter number 5, verse number 8, look at that last part. And he died. Look at the latter part of verse number 11. And he died. Verse number 14. And he died. Verse number 17. And he died, verse number 20. And he died, verse number 27. And he died, verse number 31. And he died. You know why? Because the wages of sin are death. You sin, you're going to die. Is that right? The Bible says we all die because we all sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I'm here to tell you this morning that God keeps his promises. Now let's turn back and look at this civilization. So Cain sins. He slays his brother. We saw last week that the reason he slew his brother is because his works were more righteous than he is. Cain was jealous of Abel. And instead of Cain being sorry for his sin, instead of Cain saying, I've hurt my folks, I've hurt my parents, I've done injustice to my brother, but more importantly, I've sinned against the God of heaven. You know what Cain's concerned about? Cain's concerned about his punishment. He's not concerned about his sin. Look, if you would, in chapter number 4 and verse number 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Not one word, God, I'm sorry I've sinned. God, I'm sorry that I rose up and I slay my brother. God, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that I broke your commandment and I killed an innocent man. God, I'm sorry about that. You know what happens in a godless society? You know what happens in a godless? I want you to mark these things because we're seeing them in our day. We're seeing them in our day. People no longer have a heart for the sanctity of life. Cain wasn't disturbed that he took innocent blood. Cain wasn't disturbed that he killed an innocent man. Cain was disturbed that he was going to have to answer to God for it. He said, my punishment, God, you're unfair. Not one word, God, I did wrong. God, I sinned. But God, you're unfair, and your punishment is greater than I can bear. Isn't that the society that we live in today? I do wrong, and it's God's fault. Isn't that right, brethren? I do wrong, and it's someone else's fault. Ultimately, it goes back to God. I do wrong, and it's my parents' fault. I read a statement this week by someone, and it just, listen, I mean, it made my blood boil. When I was growing up, I didn't have any role models to make me a better person. I got a good idea. Why don't you be a role model instead of look for one? Say amen with me. Quit blaming people for your sin. You're responsible for your sin. I'm responsible for my sin. Cain was responsible for his sin. We live in a society where everybody wants to blame somebody else. It's me, oh Lord. It's me. I sin as much as I choose to. You know how much you sin this week? As much as you choose to. Amen. You know how much the Bible you read? As much as you chose to. You know how much time you spend in prayer? As much as you and I chose to. So here we have a society, a civilization, the cannot civilization. Look at it now, where people are blaming other people. God, you're unfair. God, your punishment's greater than I can bear. It's God's fault. Why would God do that to somebody? Right? I mean, people take actions and they defy the holiness of God and they go against every commandment that God ever laid out. And then when the punishment comes, when the consequence of their sin comes, then they look up and say, where's your God of love? Why would God do this? I'll tell you why. Because God punishes sin. Isn't that the society that we live in though, brethren? We live in a society where everybody's blaming others and blaming God and blaming the preacher and blaming the church and blaming mama and blaming daddy, blaming the teacher. Listen, let me tell you something. You and I are responsible for our own actions. And God is going to hold me accountable for my action, not yours. My actions. I'm going to answer to God for it one day. Let's look on down. As Cain, in verse number 16, began to whine and complain to God about his punishment for his wrongdoing. The Bible says in verse number 17, and I want you to notice the progression here, in verse number 17, and you his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city. Now listen very carefully. Cain. This thing of evolution and cavemen is the biggest hoax and the biggest lie you'll ever hear. Does that sound like that there was a bunch of people dragging each other around by the hair of the head, standing around a fire, oohing and aahing? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Come on, folks. We either believe this book or we don't. The Bible says in verse, I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Hear it now. In verse number 17, it says, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city. And Cain said, I'm going to build this city and I'm going to name it after my son. Cain did that. Where have you ever seen a caveman walking around? You've never seen that in that book because it's not so. We've been lied to. I got lied to. You got lied to. If you went to an Egyptian school, you were sold a lie. Thank God that I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind. And I know that there's a creator that spoke this world into existence. I know him personally, amen. I know him personally. He built a city. You say, well, you know, maybe he built a city out of twigs. Well, I don't know. Let's look over just a little bit and see. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. Not only were they builders in that day, but the Bible says in verse number 20, they were people of commerce. Because Adabar-Jabal, he was the father of such that dwell in tents. They even had nomads back in that day. Listen, dwelling in tents was not the high life. We got a man who built a city. And then you got people who dwelt in tents who were nomads, right? And you know what they were? They were such, look in verse number 20, as half cattle. Commerce, farming, industry, right? We got some folks in here in that industry. We got some folks in here that are doing that. They didn't start that. They did. Amen. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. His brother's name was Jubal. And he was the father of all that such handled the harp and the organ. How many people in here can play a harp? Raise your hand. I don't think these people come from a monkey. Let me ask that question one more time. How many people in here can play a harp? Raise your hand. Look around you now. Now, I thought there'd be at least one person. How many of you can build a harp? They built them. Organs. Instruments. They built and played instruments. Amen. Yeah. What's going on here? They're people of culture. They're people of art. They're people of music. See, when you think of the world that then was, don't you think about what you learned in some Egyptian school, you know, with some theory. The Bible doesn't teach that stuff. Bible says, look at it. Verse number 22, Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain. He was an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Industry. Building machinery for farms and industry. Building tools. Building instruments. Amen. These people were an advanced civilization. But I'll tell you something you won't see with these folks. God. They had commerce. They had cities. They had arts. They had music. They had industry. But you'll never see where God was a part of it. You know, it kind of sounds like our civilization today. People's just so busy. You know, we all get busy, don't we? Busy. We're busy with all kinds of things. No God. You see anything in this about God? And I came, went out from the presence of the Lord. As a matter of fact, I don't know how many years passed, but you'll find, till you get down into verse number 26, it was then that men began to call upon the name of the Lord when Seth came. Look at it. Which means there was a period of time that men just said, forget God. We don't need God. We can build cities without God. You can. Amen. We can play instruments without God. You can. We can rear cattle and herd cattle without God. You can. We can do a lot of things without God. But why would you want to? A civilization without God. So here we are. Yeah. Here we are. Seth comes along, and the Bible says in verse number 26, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, there's an implication there publicly. Men began to acknowledge God again publicly. Men began to call upon the Lord. Men began to realize that we need God. I pray that our society will wake up before it's too late. And we will realize we need God, brethren. Do you need God? We need God. I need God. My family needs God. My church needs God. My community needs God. My country needs God. This world needs God. We need God. If you look on down at this society that had everything but God, you'll find that where it begins to come out in their actions. We're seeing that today. I hope you follow some of the current events that are happening in our country. I read just this week where a well-known rapper called up a young man out of the audience, and he told him to curse our president. And when he would not, he cursed him out and told him, get him out. Brother, there's a lot of music that Christians ought to have nothing to do with. Zero. Nothing. Music that dishonors God, that disrespects our authority and leadership, that disrespects women and children. That stuff ought to not even listen. It ought not be in your vehicle, ought not be in your homes. God have mercy on us. You look at this man in verse number 23 named Lamech. You know what the Bible says about him? Go back to verse 19. He took upon him two wives. Isn't that what the Bible says? He took unto him two wives. God said one man and one woman. When God put Adam to sleep, he took one rib, not two. Say amen now. I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I want you to think very carefully about this question I'm getting ready to ask you. Is there anybody in here that would be okay with a man right now if he come up here and said, hey, I've got two wives. This is what this man had, two wives. Didn't take him long either, had two. You study their names, you'll know why he got them. That's a challenge for you today. Go home, look these names up. You'll find why he got them. It's all about appearance and attractiveness. Got him two of them. How many people in our congregation today would be okay with a man standing up here saying, hey, I want to join the church, and this is one of my wives, and this is the other? You all right with that? I didn't think so. I'm not okay with it either. God's not okay with it. And I'm not okay with a man having another man either. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. Now, you wait a minute. You said you wasn't okay with a man having two wives. You can't pick and choose. We're either going to do this God's way or we're not. Say amen now. We're either going to do this God's way or we're not. God said one man, one woman. You can't pick and choose. Here's a man. He said, I'm not going to do it God's way. Is that what's happening here? I'm going to do it my way. See, that's what a society without God does. And don't you question, who are you to question what I want to do? Who died and left you in charge, they say? Right? Isn't that the kind of society we're living in today, brethren? It's a society without God. It's a society that leaves God out, that leaves His Word out. Somebody needs to speak up in the name of this book and say, God said, that's wrong. It's wrong. You don't have to be condemning people. We don't have to slander people. We just say, hey, the Bible says this is the right way, and that's the wrong way. And I'm going to go with the Bible. So here's a man who, listen, not only were they building cities and doing things their way and music, everything without God, now here's a man who says, you know, he said, I'm going to have me two wives and y'all going to be okay with it. You know what else he did? He was a violent man. Somebody said a man with two wives get pretty violent. Notice what the Bible says. Look at it now. It says in verse number 23, he called his wives together and he said, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. He's boasting. Look at it. He should have killed a man today. Didn't think anything of it either. Killed him. Took him out. Young man. Look what the Bible says. Killed a young guy. You know why? He hurt me. So I killed him. Well, somebody hurting you is no reason for you to kill him. Yeah, I think so. Well, now I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says you kill somebody when they're out to kill you, but that's not what he said. You have the right, listen, to protect yourself. Does the Bible teach that? Amen. Look what he said now. He said in verse number 23, I challenge you. He said, I have slain a man to my wounded and a young man to my hurt. Tried to hurt me, so I killed him. You know why he killed him? Because he said, God won't require it. Look at what he said in the next verse of Scripture. I'm talking to you about a society without God. A society that leaves God out, that doesn't do it God's way, that doesn't listen to what God said, that says, I want nothing to do with God. We live in that society today. We've come full circle. He said in verse number 24, if Cain shall be avenged 70-fold, truly Lamech 70 and 7-fold. Cain killed a man, didn't even hurt him. So if I kill a man, I should be okay. He hurt me. You see what God is painting the picture of here? It's a society without conscience. It's a society without God, just doing what seems right in their own eyes. And when we move forward and we get into the days that are just right after this day, and in chapter number 6, as we'll see in just a few moments, there is a society that every man does that which is right in his own eyes. They say, well, if you think it's right, then it's right. That's not true. Listen to me, young people. That's not true. That's not so. Just because I think something some way, that doesn't make it so. It's what God says. It's what God says. Come on, folks. If God said it's right, it's right. Doesn't matter who else says it's wrong. If God says it's right, it's right. If God said it's wrong, it's wrong. Doesn't who else says it's okay? We're living in a society where people are just doing what they want to do. Look, if you would, just a few short pages over in chapter number 6. The Bible says in verse number 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It started out with one man here and one man there, and it spread like wildfire. And God said in this age, he said in verse number 5 of chapter 6, that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. That's the day we live in. That's our society. People are broken, messed up, confused, misguided, unlearned. And we have the truth. Can I say onward, Christian soldiers? Get out there and make a difference. Get out there and make a difference. On the way out the door, every Christian in this building ought to grab some gospel tracts that has the plan of salvation on the back of it, and you ought to pray, and I ought to pray and say, God, lead me to some people that are broken and that are hurting and that are misled and that are misinformed, and God, help me to make a difference in their life. Place me in the pathway of someone's life that needs to hear about God today. They're everywhere. They're all around us. Say, preacher, I'm just hoping for the best. That's a terrible way to live life. These people are broken and hurting, misguided, misled. You realize what's happening in our country today? You've been following what's going on? There are children, 4, 5, 6 years old, that are being abducted, molested, sold in our country, brethren. I'm not talking about some third world country. Right here, it's happening. We have a governor calling out Governor Northam today. We have a governor who has gone on record to say it's okay to abort a baby even after it's gone full term. That's murder. That's murder. All God's people ought to say amen. Amen. That's murder. You say, well, preacher, what are you going to do? I'm going to challenge you to pray for that man to get under deep Holy Ghost conviction and get saved in the grace of God. Amen. You need to pray for your leaders. The Bible says we ought to do that. Amen. You ought to pray for him. That man needs to be saved. Say amen. You say, well, he said he was. Any person that thinks it's okay to kill a baby, I have that much confidence in his salvation. Can you see between that? Me neither. That's because he's not saved. Listen to me. Abortion is murder. If you're here and you've had one, I'm sorry for you, and we'll help you in any way we can. And I mean that when I say that. There's a lot of us that have done things that we're sorry that we've done in our lives. A lot of us. And I'm glad that the grace of God is sufficient. And I'm glad that God will cleanse and God will heal and God will bring forgiveness in your heart. But I'm telling you that when we as believers sit by and do nothing, won't pray, won't witness, won't live right, won't go to church, won't try to impact somebody else's life, have a little religion on the side, hey, you listen to me, that's why we're in the shape we're in. Amen. Amen. Look at verse number 3 of chapter 6. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. See, God calls and God calls, and man says, I don't want anything to do with that. Isn't that what's happening today? God speaks and God speaks and God calls and God calls and God beckons, and man just says, we don't want to hear anything about that. It's even getting in our churches today. It's creeping into our churches where when someone stands up and preaches just a little bit like what I'm preaching, listen, this is light stuff. We're in trouble, brethren. We're in trouble. We got folks that there's churches in our country that perform gay marriage. Their pastor is okay with abortion. I'm not talking about down at the bar. I'm not talking down in some back alley. I'm not talking about a crack house. I'm talking about a church. A church. There's something bad wrong. We need to wake up. We've gotten to the place of where folks now call themselves Christians, shack up like an animal. Hey, can I tell you that God said that is fornication? That is sin against God. God loves you and God will forgive you, but don't you for one moment think that God's okay with that. God's not okay with that. You say, well, I'm going to post on Facebook that I love Jesus. That means nothing if you're living in sin. See, we've gotten to the place where we're okay with this stuff. We've fallen asleep. We've gotten used to the darkness. The darkness has hovered about our churches and our land, and we're falling in under it, and it's just affecting us to where when a man stands up and preaches truth and righteousness, there's two men. You say, preacher, I can't live for God. Because of that society that you have just named, there's people that are killing and molesting and doping. There's more people in our country that are addicted to drugs and alcohol. It would boggle our minds to know. We had a staff meeting, and I told our men, we've got to do something. There's people all around us. They're addicted to drugs. They're addicted to substance. They're addicted to alcohol. They're addicted to all kinds of things. We've got to throw out a lifeline somehow. Amen. We've got to get them to Jesus. Amen. Listen to me. That's the answer. I said, we've got to get them to Jesus. I can't do anything about this. You can't do anything about this in ourselves. We need to get them to Jesus. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He is one that will set the captive free. We need to get them to Jesus, brethren. Get them to God. God can make a difference in their life. Amen. He made a difference in my life. Amen. Glory to God, I'm so thankful that Jesus changed my life. Amen. If Jesus changed your life, you ought to thank him for it this morning. You ought to bow in his presence and say, thank you, Jesus, for changing my life. Amen. And then leave here and go out and let him, through you, change somebody else's life. Amen. We live in a world that is crumbling, falling apart. And yet, Genesis chapter number 5, down in verse number 22 and 24, two times, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9, Noah walked with God. You can walk with God. Listen to me now. You say, preacher, it's just, there's sin all around me. I mean, I just feel the oppression of sin and debauchery and temptation. I just, it's all around me. Can I live for God in such a society as we have today? Enoch did. Noah did. I'm going to close with this. Turn to 2 Peter and we'll close. I was telling our Sunday school class a couple of weeks ago, I was witnessing to a young man. 2 Peter chapter 3. And right off the bat, this young man made this statement. He said, well, I can already tell you, he said, because I told him I was the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church. And right off the bat, he said, well, we're not going to agree. I said, well, you don't even know me. How can you say that? He said, well, I believe in the Big Bang. I said, you do? He said, yeah, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I said, well, I got one better. I believe in the Big Bang fact. What? I do. I said, tell me about your theory. He gave me some kind of hogwash. You know, about some collision and of asteroids or something in outer space. I said, that's interesting. I said, so that's how you think it got started? Yeah. I said, well, I believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But now I do believe in a big bang. I don't believe that's the way it's got started. I do believe that's the way it's going to end. I think you just got your big bang in the wrong place. Look, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter number 3, and this is where we'll close. I want to talk to you on what we should do in light of just a little bit of what I've said. There is sin and unrighteousness, debauchery all around us. Peter said in verse number 10 of chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass with a great noise. Bang! So I believe in the Big Bang. But it's not a theory. It's a fact. And it's not the way things got started, it's the way they're going to end. So the next time you meet a big banger, just tell them, I'm a big banger too. But mine's not a theory, it's a fact. You've got your bang in the wrong place. He said in verse number 10, he said, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Here you go, Christian. Here I am, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You ought to live right. We live in a wicked world. We live in a dark world. People need to see some light. Amen? People need to see some compassion and some kindness. People need to see somebody with a burden for their soul. Not just somebody who will be another a person on a seat. Listen, I'm glad people come to church. Aren't you? I'm thankful people come to church. For those of you that are visiting with us today, God bless you. I'm so glad you're here. But my concern for you is not just that you would come and fill up a chair. I'm glad you're here. I want you to serve God with your life. I want you to reach God's fullest potential. God has a lot for you. God has a plan for your life. And it's my goal as a pastor, it's my goal as a Christian to help you know God's plan for your life. It's the greatest life that there is. He said, looking in verse 12, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Here goes now. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Accounting that the long suffering of our God is salvation. What about it? What's Peter saying? He said, hey, God's getting ready to wind this thing down. You read this chapter and you'll find it's because of the civilization that the world started with. God had to destroy it with water. He's going to destroy this one by fire. Because it was a civilization without God. They left God out. Our civilization is leaving God out too. But they were some men who refused to bow. Enoch kept preaching. Read Jude, he prophesied. Noah, read Peter, was a preacher of righteousness. They did not bow down and bend to the society around them. You don't have to either. You don't have to. I don't have to. We can live right, even in a crooked world. Amen?
Amen.
How about you? Are you content on doing that? Are you? I pray that God would help me this week and God would help you this week to go out and find some hurting people and say, I want to be a help to you. I want to tell you about somebody that can change your life. Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus changed my life and he can change the lives of others too. You trying to reach somebody? You trying to make a difference in their life? Are you? We're not going to do it with half-hearted, hit-and-miss Christianity. takes dedication. It does. People's looking to see godliness in people's lives. I pray to God that's what we're projecting. Let's stand to our feet.